Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Health Radio with Melanie Cole.
Well, summer is right here and right now, and if you're out in the sun for a long time, you do notice that your skin dries up. You get those little fine lines on your thighs. You get the dark spots on your legs. Okay, maybe that's just me. But we're talking about summer skincare with Dr. Julia Zhu. She's the director and founder of Wall Street Dermatology. That sounds very, businessy and Wall Street-y. Welcome to the show, Dr. Zhu. So tell us about what you think is the most important thing to do in the summer for our skin.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on air. Summertime, skincare regimen. It's very, very, the most important thing to keep in mind is you have to wear sunscreen. And with that comes basically broad spectrum SPF of at least 30. And that's the most important thing you can do for your health and your beauty in the summertime.
Okay, so we want to use that broad spectrum, and we've done a lot of shows here on UVA versus UVB and, you know, this kind of thing. So we want to make sure to use a good broad spectrum and at least 30. Are the ones that say 170, are those things worth it? Are those complete blockers, or are they just, you know, advertising?
Well, I think it might be a little bit more marketing than you think. Basically, any sunscreen that advertises itself to be, you know, more than 50 is probably not going to give you too much of a marginal benefit. The degree of protection that you might think you're getting with something that's a 70 or an 80 is probably going to be about the same level of protection that you're going to get with a 50 or potentially a 45.
Okay, so Dr. Zoom, moving on, because, you know, we know we're supposed to wear sunscreen and we have to reapply it, get the broad spectrum, reapply it after the water, make sure you chase your kids around with the spray and spray it all over them if you can. Not always that easy, but what about as we are out in the sun and then we've used our sunscreen, but we still come in, we take our shower, we clean up, and we see these little dry lines, we see wrinkles, we see, what do you want us to do after a day out in the sun, even if we've been wearing a hat, sunglasses, and sunscreen?
Very good question. First of all, after you've been out in the sun for an entire day, your body is probably a little dehydrated. So it's important to, first of all, drink a lot of water. That's always important in any scenario, but also to put on a lot of moisturizer. And it's actually important to moisturize at least twice a day, so once in the morning after you get up, but also, right before you go to bed as well, because, most of your body consists of water, as is the case with your skin. And in order to get it kind of supple and radiant looking, devoid of all those little fine lines, it's really important to moisturize from within and from without.
Saturate from the inside. That's what I like to say. So we have to hydrate, and we have to, and from without, as you say. And because this is my show and I get to ask the questions of you docs that I want with a dermatologist on, is there anything after sun that we can put under our eyes for those little fine wrinkles? I mean, you know, is that not the time to use something with like Retin-A or something? Do you have any particular moisturizers, even some that we might just find at Walgreens that actually work to kind of fill in those little lines a little bit?
Yeah, so pretty much all moisturizers actually do work to some extent in terms of preventing a transepidermal kind of water loss, as well as, some moisturizers also contain ingredients that trap some level of moisture from the environment if it's humid enough and kind of bring it into the skin as well. For really thin, delicate areas of skin, like around the eye area, it's even more important to moisturize because persistent moisturization of those areas actually will prevent fine wrinkles from getting more prominent as time goes by. In terms of recommendations on which specific moisturizer to use, just overall, I like anything that is hypoallergenic, non-comedogenic, and fragrance-free. That means that it's a really, really pure moisturizer. And you don't have to go for anything super fancy filled with, you know, this antioxidant, that antioxidant, this retinol, that retinol. Just use something really simple, really basic, something that doesn't irritate the skin, doesn't clog up the pores, and that will give you the maximal benefit in terms of hydration of the skin. Now, I like to kind of separate my under-eye cream from my actual facial moisturizer, because under-eye creams are formulated to be thicker, okay? So it's actually better for thinner areas of skin, like under the eyes. And for under the eyes, I would just, you know, one moisturizer I personally like using is, or eye creams I personally like using is something called Neova. But, you know, honestly, as long as you're using an under eye cream, I think you're doing a good job.
Does what you pay have anything to do with it?
Well,
because some have SPF in them, some have skin, you know, some creams that I've spent a lot of money on, and they say they have SPF 15 and whatever, and then they tingle a little too much on my skin. They don't feel great, and you spent $50. Does that matter, or is something as cheap as oil of Olay going to be good for us? Good enough?
Yeah. Well, you know, in general, I feel like, as with everything in life, you do get what you pay for, but up to a certain extent. So if we're talking about, you know, an under-eye cream that's more than $100, I would say you're probably paying a little bit for the marketing, more for the marketing than for the R&D of the product. So I would say, you know, something between maybe $50 to $100 would be a pretty quality product.
Okay, so that's actually reasonable to hear, you know, when we're thinking about these. Now, what about on our body? Everything, you know, they smell good. One of my pediatricians once said, when I asked about a cream for my kids, she goes, well, it's pink, you know, and so it does the smell, the fragrance. What about our bodies after we've been in the sun? And we've used our good broad spectrum sunscreen. And then we see those little lines on our thighs. We see those dark spots start to come up on our legs. Is there a moisturizer? What do you want us to do about our body moisturizing?
Well, it is very important to moisturize your body skin as well, because that is also a part of our skin, just as important as our facial skin. But for our body, it is the skin on our body is actually thicker than that on our face. So, you know, it can tolerate a little bit more. In terms of, I still would like to stick to the idea of something that's hypoallergenic, that's fragrance-free, dye-free, if possible. Doesn't have to be non-comedogenic, as is the case for a facial moisturizer. But I tend to, as a dermatologist, recommend products that don't contain fragrances, that don't contain kind of excess chemicals that I don't really think is necessary for our skin.
I love the way they smell, though, Dr. Zhu. In just the last 20 seconds or so, your best advice for our summer skin care, and tell people where they can find out more about you.
Okay. So summertime, number one, make sure you wear your sunscreen. Number two, also, in addition to wearing sunscreen, make sure you practice prudent sun avoidance and also use physical protection as well, such as a hat, shades, some protective clothing. Number three, also don't forget to hydrate up and also moisturize your skin, face, body, as well as the delicate areas underneath the eyes. And you can find out more about me at www.wallstreetdermatology.com.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Have a great day and stay well.